Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Secrets Revealed. Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish. It is Sunday, December 11th of 2022, and this is Dr. Nicole, your Book of Revelation research scientist. Today we're talking about the Seven Plagues Prophecy. You can listen live at 12 p.m. Central Time to PGN's Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish. This month, in December of 2022, analysis and discussion of the Seven Plagues Prophecy are happening live on PGN Prophetic Grace Network on Sundays at 12 p.m. Central Time and Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Central Time. I invite you to share your perspective or pose a question about the Book of Revelation during the live internet broadcast. You can do that by using our PGN phone number, which is 1-319-527-6027. Again, you are invited, encouraged to share your perspective or to pose a question about the Book of Revelation during our live internet broadcast. You can use our PGN phone number, 1-319-527-6027, to connect live during the broadcast. Also, you can text your question, your prayer request, or your comment about the Book of Revelation to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, using the PGN text number. That PGN text number is 1-214-505-8719. By the way, when you call, you connect to the broadcast. You'll hear me talking and whoever else is on the call with me live, but it's only when you press 1 that you have communicated that you want to connect to be on the broadcast live. So when you call the phone number, you can listen, but if you want to participate, you necessarily should press 1. And what that does is that it raises your hand in our virtual queue, and so I will only call on you to bring you into the broadcast live if you have your hand raised. Otherwise, I'll know that you're using the phone number to listen. So today, we are talking about the Seven Plagues Prophecy. I'm excited to share with you some incredible insights, some amazing secrets about the Battle of Armageddon in the Seven Plagues Prophecy in the Book of Revelation. If you'd like to see the study notes, the one-page basic study notes to accompany this talk, please go to blogtalkradio.com/liveprophetic as one word, blogtalkradio.com/liveprophetic. You can find the one-page basic study notes to accompany this talk and conversation today. Let's go right into talking about the Seven Plagues Prophecy. So it appears in the Book of Revelation. It is chapters 15 and 16 in their entirety. So we have two chapters which have both. Chapter 15 includes the movie trailer in words for the Seven Plagues Prophecy. In professional writing terms, we refer to that as the abstract. And then it is followed in chapter 16 by the full report. So in other words, the movie in its entirety, and, you know, this isn't a fictional account, it's an actual report of events in our future from an omniscient God, from an all knowing God who communicated it through various channels so that it could be recorded for you and me, readers of the Book of Revelation, individuals who would be on the earth during the time of the end of the age. And that's when we are right now. It's the end of the age. And so the specific secret that we'll focus on today in the seven plagues prophecy is the fact that the seventh and final plague is the war to end all wars. It is the Battle of Armageddon. And I want to share scripture with you to provide compelling evidence of that reality. Let's go first to the seventh trumpet war. If you've been a longtime listener of this particular program, you know that I've shared many times that the Book of Revelation includes a series of extremely complex reports that every report of future events, every statement of prophecy in the Book of Revelation focuses on the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when does that happen? It happens at his second coming, at his return. And so essentially what we have are seven documentaries, if you will, seven factual reports, seven recordings in words of actual events leading up to, and in some cases including, the second coming of Jesus Christ, and in some instances also the events that occur after the second coming. Let me give you a few examples. In the seven trumpets prophecy, the first of 12 statements of prophecy in the Book of Revelation, it includes and culminates with the seventh trumpet prophecy, which is in fact the Battle of Armageddon. We're going to look at that today. In contrast, the New Earth prophecy talks about exclusively events that happen after the Battle of Armageddon and after the first 1,000 years of the rule and reign of Jesus Christ on this present earth, and what happens not only beyond those two particular points in time, but also what happens beyond the great white throne judgment, which occurs after the first 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ on this earth. So the New Earth prophecy, the 12th and final statement of prophecy in the Book of Revelation, focuses on events after the second coming, but by my analysis, there are 12 statements of prophecy, and when we look at those, we see that seven focus either primarily or exclusively on a very short period of time. I bet you can guess what that period of time is. It's the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, the 1,260 days of the wrath of Satan, the 1,260 days where the Antichrist will rule and reign. He will grow in power and dominion under the inspiration of Satan, carrying out the plans and purposes of Satan in tandem with the false prophet. However, the Great Tribulation, the wrath of Satan, surely comes to an end. It will be a period of crisis unlike any crisis the world has ever experienced or will ever experience again. Interestingly, the wrath of Satan is followed by the wrath of God. And so today we're talking about the seven plagues prophecy in the Book of Revelation and focusing on the Battle of Armageddon, which is included in the seventh and final plague of the seven final plagues. So recall from the Old Testament that plagues were used to deliver the people of God, Israel, from its oppressors. And prior to the end of the age, the end of this present earth, again, we will see the use of plagues for the purposes of deliverance, bringing forth and to fruition the plans and purposes of God. Let's take a look right now at the key secret we're focusing on today, which is the reality of the seventh final plague coinciding with the seventh trumpet war in the seven trumpets prophecy. So let's begin with hearing about what happens after the seventh trumpet is blown, or after after the seventh angel, I should say, blows his trumpet. Reading from the New Living Translation and briefly hearing part of the seven trumpets prophecy in Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 to 19, here's what it says, and we're going to hear this, and then we're going to hear the seventh final plague in the seven plagues prophecy, so you can see, hear, and know that these two sevens align perfectly. Okay, so here's what happens after the seventh angel blows his trumpet in the seven trumpets prophecy. It says in Revelation chapter 11, then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices shouting in heaven, the world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. The 24 elders sitting on their thrones before God fell with their faces to the ground and worshiped him, and they said, we give thanks to you, Lord God, the Almighty, the one who is and who always was. For now you have assumed your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were filled with wrath, but now the time of your wrath has come. It is time to judge the dead and reward your servants, the prophets, as well as your holy people and all who fear your name, from the least to the greatest. It is time to destroy all who have caused destruction on the earth. Then in heaven, the temple of God was opened, and the ark of his covenant could be seen inside the temple. Lightning flashed, thunder crashed and roared, and there was an earthquake and a terrible hailstorm. That is a description of what happens after the angel blows his trumpet. So after the seventh angel blows his trumpet, that's what happens. Let's highlight a few of the key things that we heard. So it happens once the world becomes the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Says that in verse 15, the world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Well, when does that happen? That happens upon the return of Jesus Christ, when he fights and wins a war waged in righteousness. What war is that? That's the Battle of Armageddon. The return of Jesus Christ begins, it's the commencement of his rule and reign on this present earth, which will continue for 1,000 years and beyond onto the new earth. All of the events described here don't take place on a singular day, but over a period of time. Well, you say, research scientists, what do you mean? Well, let's listen to this part. It says, the nations were filled with wrath, but now the time of your wrath has come. Let's pause there for a second. Whose wrath were they filled with? The wrath of Satan, the great tribulation. Then it says, but now the time of your wrath has come. So the wrath of Satan is followed by the wrath of God. Let's continue. What were some of the other specifics? It says, it is time to judge the dead and reward your servants, the prophets. You know, in the Bible, large periods of time are covered in few words. So the second coming of Jesus Christ occurs. That's described in several statements of prophecy, but let's focus right now on the marriage supper prophecy in Revelation chapter 19. So that is the prophecy that focuses on the Battle of Armageddon, which happens after the marriage of the Lamb. It's the marriage supper. So in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, we have a description of the second coming, the return of Jesus Christ as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, riding a white horse, descending from the clouds, followed by the armies with an S of heaven. And then in Revelation chapter 20, in the millennial reign prophecy, we have a description of the first 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ on this earth. Recall that in Isaiah chapter 9, it says, and of the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end. So the government of Jesus Christ begins upon his winning of the Battle of Armageddon, when he puts down the thrones of the kingdoms of this world and establishes his own government. The nations will be permitted to continue under the leadership, the Bible tells us, of Jesus Christ and those he appoints. Now, getting back to the seven trumpets prophecy, it said the nations were filled with wrath. Okay, that's the wrath of Satan during the great tribulation prior to the second coming. Then it says, but now the time of your wrath has come. That includes the seven final plagues as well as the Battle of Armageddon. And let's continue. Then it says, it is time to judge the dead. So now we've covered a really long period of time. It is time to judge the dead. That's the end of Revelation chapter 20. The great white throne judgment happens after the first 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ. And at the end of the first 1,000 years, a couple of key things happen. Number one, the third enemy of God to be destroyed is destroyed. That's Satan. He's thrown into the lake of fire. That's the second death. In Revelation 20, verse 10, it says, then the devil who had led them astray, deceiving and seducing them, was hurled into the fiery lake of burning brimstone where the beast and false prophet were. So after that, this is at the end of 1,000 years, it says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, I also saw the dead, great and small. They stood before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged, sentenced by what they had done, their whole way of feeling and acting, their aims and endeavors in accordance with what was recorded in the books. So this is the second resurrection. These are the goats, the bad fish, the tares, the weeds, those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they are judged at the great white throne judgment. So what is the take-home point for us? That covers a large period of time when they talk about the events that happen after the seventh angel blows his trumpets. Importantly, there's a focus on what happens at the Battle of Armageddon. Let's hear it. It says in verse 19 of chapter 11, "Then in heaven the temple of God was opened, and the ark of his covenant could be seen inside the temple. Lightning flashed, thunder crashed and roared, and there was an earthquake and a terrible hailstorm." So they tell us before then the beginning, so what is happening, and they give us this time frame, and they say it's the time now for the wrath of God, and then begin to describe a series of activities included in the wrath of God. So those activities, those actions, include the Battle of Armageddon, but they aren't limited to them. So the seven final plagues culminate with the Battle of Armageddon, and it says in verse 18 at the end, it's time to destroy all who have caused destruction on the earth. But again, the destroying of those who have caused destruction on the earth, it doesn't happen in a single day. It begins with the seven final plagues, but it doesn't culminate until the great white throne judgment that happens over 1,000 years later. Okay, so at the end of the seven trumpets prophecy, we're given a description of the beginning of the wrath of God with respect to the seven final plagues, how they culminate with the Battle of Armageddon. It says, lightning flashed, thunder crashed and roared, and there was an earthquake and a terrible hailstorm. And when we go to the seventh and final plague, here's what it says in Revelation chapter 16. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a mighty shout came from the throne in the temple saying, "It is finished." Then the thunder crashed and rolled, and lightning flashed, and a great earthquake struck, the worst since people were placed on earth. The great city of Babylon split into three sections, and the cities of many nations fell into heaps of rubble. So God remembered all of Babylon's sins, and he made her drink the cup that was filled with the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island disappeared, and all the mountains were leveled. There was a terrible hailstorm, and hailstones weighing as much as 75 pounds fell from the sky onto the people below. They cursed God because of the terrible plague of the hailstorm. So what did we hear about the Battle of Armageddon, which is what is often referred to as the Seventh Trumpet War? So in other words, what is this war that happens after the sounding of the seventh trumpet? It is the Battle of Armageddon, the war to end all wars, a war waged in righteousness, Team Satan versus Team Jesus, the armies of heaven versus the armies of the nations of the world led by the Antichrist. The Antichrist and the false prophet and the kings of the earth lead the armies that support the 10-nation alliance that will dominate economic and political affairs during the Great Tribulation period. And they have come to fight a war against tiny Israel, Israel that has been under great attack for 1,260 days. That's 42 months. That's 3.5 years. As reported in chapters 12 and 13 of the book of Revelation. And they think they're going to have, it's going to be easy work, because they will be strong and mighty in number, and Israel will be tiny and weak and vulnerable at this point after 3.5 years of the nations of the world turning against it. But the armies will think, after traveling through the path of the dried up Euphrates rivers, that they are going to face those who remain in the army of Israel, but in fact, who they will face is God manifest in the flesh, God in his glorified, perfected, immortal body, Jesus Christ, and the armies of heaven. And they will not win that war. They will lose that war. God will triumph, and he will put down the governments of this world and establish his own. So it won't be like a government, the government of Egypt during the time of Joseph, or the government of Rome during the time of John the Revelator, or the government of Greece. There have been nations that were incredible in their power, in their breadth, in their dominion, in their discoveries, in their culture, and in their art. And yet their governments did not survive. Nebuchadnezzar had an amazing dream of the major one-world governments that have existed since the beginning of time. It's described in the book of Daniel. And we haven't seen it yet in our lifetime, but there's coming a major government. It will not include all the nations of the world, but the vast majority. It will be tantamount, although not exactly, it will be tantamount to a one-world government in the sense that the breadth, the power of the government, its dominion will be so vast, beyond anything we've ever seen, beyond the power of the United States of America at its peak, beyond the power of Russia, beyond the power of China, beyond the power of the United Kingdom, beyond the power of any singular nation that has existed in my lifetime or your lifetime. It will be the 10-nation alliance described in Revelation chapter 13, the beast. The beast, which has the Antichrist as its mouthpiece, also a beast. What did we hear that reveals the secret that the seventh final plague is in fact the same? It also includes the same event described as an event that happens after the seventh angel blows his trumpet. Here are the events in common. Thunder. So we have thunder in verse 18 of chapter 16. And we also have thunder in verse 19 of chapter 11. Hailstorm in verse 19 in the seven trumpets prophecy. And hailstorm twice, as well as hailstones, in verse 20 of the seven plagues prophecy in chapter 16. Earthquake and lightning both appear in the seven plagues prophecy as well as the seventh trumpet prophecy, as events that happen after the seventh angel sounds the trumpet. Okay, now, why do we care about this? Why do we care about this? It says here, at the end of the seven plagues prophecy, look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Blessed are all who are watching me, who keep their clothing ready so they will not have to walk around naked and ashamed. And the demonic spirits gathered all the rulers and their armies to a place with the Hebrew name Armageddon. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, And a mighty shout came from the throne in the temple saying, it is finished. What's finished? What's finished? Now, when I look at this, what I think is what's finished is the Great Tribulation. What's finished is the wrath of Satan, because immediately after the seventh angel pours out his bowl into the air, then he says, it's finished. And then it says, then the thunder crashed and rolled and lightning flashed and a great earthquake struck. So this is what happens with the return of Jesus Christ. So if you look at the descriptions of the return of Jesus Christ, we're told that he returns after the sounding of a trumpet. Let's hear that briefly. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, what happens after that? So that's the marriage of the Lamb, when we are caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord. After the marriage of the Lamb is the marriage supper, which is the Battle of Armageddon. So this happens. This happens on a single day. There's the marriage of the Lamb and then the marriage supper. You might say, well, I don't know about that. I thought the marriage supper was a wedding banquet where we sit down with the Lord and maybe at your favorite meals there are beans and rice, or maybe there's brisket with broccoli and salad. Maybe there's chicken and macaroni and cheese. I like the idea of a wedding banquet where it's us dining with our Lord and Savior. But we're not going to go with what we heard someone say, or maybe what we would do. I heard Randy Chandler say this the other day. Prophet Randy said, people prophesy what they would do if they were God. And I find that people say about specifically the wedding banquet, they say what they would have at the wedding banquet if they were God. Let's hear what the Bible says will happen at the wedding banquet. What happens after the sounding of the seventh trumpet, at which time we transition from our mortal bodies to our immortal bodies, meeting Jesus Christ in the cloud? That's the marriage of the Lamb. That's after the sounding of the seventh trumpet. And what happens at the marriage supper? Well, here it is. I'm going to start in verse 11 of chapter 19. So the marriage supper prophecy is in verse 11. And then we're going to the seven final plagues. We're looking at this trajectory so you can understand the timeline. So you can understand the timeline and know that you know that you know what the secrets are in the book of Revelation about the timing of the battle of the Armageddon, the battle of Armageddon and the first resurrection. So here's what it says, starting with verse 11 of chapter 19. Oh, let me back up for a second. Let's hear the whole thing, verses 6 to 21. So that way you know you have everything in context. You have everything in context. So the movie trailer and words for the marriage supper prophecy is verses 6 to 9. And then the movie in its entirety, in other words, the full report, includes verses 11 to 21, but let's hear the whole thing. It says, then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd or the roar of mighty ocean waves or the crash of loud thunder. Now, there it is again. Why is there the crash of loud thunder? That's what happens. That's part of the event that happens with the return of Jesus Christ and then the Battle of Armageddon. It says, praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Now, when does he reign? So we're on the earth right now. Is Jesus Christ reigning? I don't think so. I don't think so. You can look at the all these court cases with these verdicts that don't make sense, and you know that we don't have we have problems. Let me say it that way. So when does he reign? He reigns after he fights and wins the Battle of Armageddon, puts down the governments of men, and establishes the government of God. Okay, so let's go back. It says, praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. Let's pause there. If you understand this secret right here, you'll know more than 98% of all people who look at the Bible. Let's look at this sentence. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. I'm not kidding. I meant that. So what does this sentence mean? And his bride has prepared herself. When all whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life have transitioned from mortality to immortality, we are prepared. What are we prepared for? We're prepared to rule and reign with Jesus Christ in our perfected, glorified, peak performance bodies on this present earth and on the new earth to come. It says, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb. Well, when does the time come? The wedding feast happens after the wedding. Well, what's the wedding? The wedding is when we're joined forever with Jesus Christ, who's already in his forever body, when he descends from heaven to this present earth in his forever body, and all of the saints, all who are part of the bride of Christ, when we get to our forever bodies, in other words, our glorified, perfected, incorruptible bodies, and we join him literally. We meet him in the clouds, both the groom and the bride, together forever in bodies that will never, ever die, bodies suitable for living on this present earth and the new earth to come. It says, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb. That's the Battle of Armageddon. And his bride has prepared herself. So all of the witnessing, the instruction, the preaching of the word of God that will have happened during the Great Tribulation will have occurred. Every person who found and followed God's plan for salvation will be with God. So in heaven, the storage tank for the saints who have experienced the first death are David, Joseph, Ruth, Noah, your grandmother, your grandfather, maybe your husband or wife or sister or brother, they're all there waiting. What are they waiting for? They're waiting for the marriage of the Lamb. They're waiting to be three in one again. They're waiting to transition from their heavenly body to their perfected, glorified, tangible, immortal body on this present earth. So let's hear that again. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. So I've been making the argument to you, based on Bible scripture over and over again, that the first resurrection is the wedding, the marriage of the Lamb, and that it's followed by the Battle of Armageddon, which is the wedding feast. Don't turn me off. I think I heard some preachers say, don't shoot me down when I'm preaching good. Okay. So I'm not preaching at you, but I am sharing with you what the Bible says. So I don't want you to turn it off if I'm saying something you haven't heard, because you should not trust in my opinion, but you should trust in the Word of God. You should trust in the Word of God. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it doesn't matter what Grandma said, or what Reverend so-and-so said, or Dr. so-and-so. It doesn't even matter what you say or what I say. It matters what the Bible says. We ought to go to the Word of God, see what it says, and adjust our thinking accordingly. We ought to require our thoughts to line up with the Word of God. It's not the other way around. We don't go to the Bible and say, hey, this is what I think. These words need to move around. Or, hey, what I think is not in here. This is a bad translation. No, no, no. Don't do that, friend. If you get that thought, that's a lie from the pits of hell. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Now, there are some minor discrepancies between different translations of the Bible, and if you feel led to look at multiple translations, by all means do it. But in no instance should we ever say, the Bible's wrong. No, the Bible's not wrong. The Bible is the infallible Word of God. The Bible is the infallible Word of God. Now, let's hear what it says about this wedding feast. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are true words that come from God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said, no, don't worship me. I am a servant of God, just like you and your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. Now, that's the movie trailer in words, a couple of key points. After the bride of Christ has prepared herself, then it's time for the wedding feast. And now we're going to hear the full report of the wedding feast. It begins with verse 11 and ends with verse 21 of chapter 19. This is the full report of the marriage supper prophecy, the Battle of Armageddon. It says, reading from the New Living Translation, then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. And again, we're looking at this to see how it coincides with the seventh and final plague. So we're getting the end of the seven final plagues, but we're going to get a detailed description of the end so we can truly understand why do these seven plagues matter and how do they end. So this is a detailed report of one of the events that happens with the seventh and final plague. It says, then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe, at his thigh, was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky, come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared. Okay, friend, we're about to hear details about the wedding banquet, the marriage supper, the wedding feast. Here are the details of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Here are the details. What happens after the first resurrection? Verse 18, continuing, it says, verse 18 of chapter 19, come and eat the flesh of kings. Now, who is advised, instructed, in fact, to come and eat the flesh of kings? It's the vultures. The vultures are a part of God's cleanup plan for the aftermath of the Battle of Armageddon. Now, don't turn this off because I'm saying something that you don't want to hear. This is Bible. This is Bible. Let's be open to the Word of God and what it says. Let's be sober-minded and diligent in our study. Okay. Verse 18 says, come and eat the flesh of kings, generals, and strong warriors, of horses and their riders, and of all humanity, both free and slave, small and great. Now remember, we are no longer a part of humanity at this point. Specifically in Israel, at the Battle of Armageddon, will be those who bear the mark of the beast. All whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will have transitioned from being a part of the human race to being a member of the royal race, as described in Revelation, the New Earth prophecy. Let's continue. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army. So there it is right there, the proof that the marriage supper is the Battle of Armageddon. Verse 19 of chapter 19, that's 19:19. Then I saw the beast. Who's the beast? The beast is the mouthpiece for the 10-nation alliance. That's the Antichrist described in the 666 Antichrist prophecy as the beast, chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. So absolute proof that the marriage supper, the wedding banquet, is the Battle of Armageddon. That secret is revealed in Revelation 19:19. Let's hear it one more time. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army. And the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast and who worshiped his statue. Both the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. These are the first two enemies of God who experienced the second death. The third enemy of God is Satan, but this doesn't happen until 1,000 years later. Going back to where we are, during the time of the marriage supper, the wedding banquet, the wedding feast, the Battle of Armageddon, both the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Okay, we're about to hear the final verse in the marriage supper prophecy, which is all about the Battle of Armageddon. And this is so important. You must never take the mark of the beast on your forehead or on your hand for several reasons. One reason is that if you have the mark of the beast during the Great Tribulation period, which is coming up in the lifetime, I believe, of many of us who are listening to this broadcast, you will experience the first death if you are in the armies of the world government at that time and you are at the Battle of Armageddon. Now, think about this. They're going to be hyped. They're going to be amped. They're going to be excited. They think that this is going to be the war that brings peace to the earth. They'll finally after World War III, where a third of mankind was destroyed, and all the problems that we faced with World War I and II and the horrible World War III. So that's described as that's described in the Seven Trumpets prophecy. World War III is coming. It says a third of mankind will be destroyed. And no doubt this will cause great pressure to be exerted so that there will finally be the opportunity, despite the vehement denial of Muslim authorities to allow the people of Israel to rebuild the third temple. But we can imagine that what will finally cause, after 2,000 years, the nations of this world to require Muslim authorities to agree to allow Israel to rebuild its temple. Well, one argument that I heard Irvin Baxter make, and I'm persuaded that it's a compelling argument. Now, this is not a Bible fact, but we do see in the Bible that a third world war is coming. That's in the Seven Trumpets prophecy. And we're told that in this war, the sixth trumpet war in Revelation chapter 9, that a third of mankind will be killed. It's in verse 18 of chapter 9. It says a third of mankind was killed by these three plagues. And it tells us that the army responsible for this is 200 million. The number of their troops of cavalry was twice 10,000 times 10,000, 200 million. I heard what their number was. That's what John says in Revelation chapter 9. So going back to the Battle of Armageddon, friend, don't take the mark of the beast. Let's hear how it ends. For those who have taken the mark of the beast, they're in the armies of the Antichrist, who's taken power after World War III. There's going to be such pressure to bring peace on the earth. People are going to, the anti-Christian sentiment is going to skyrocket. Israel will be allowed. The confirmation of the covenant will happen. Israel, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, seemingly, but it's not out of nowhere for those of us who have studied the prophecies of the book of Revelation. It's not out of nowhere. We're looking for it. We expect it. We know it's going to happen because every statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation is genuine, accurate, and sure to come to pass. Trustworthy, it says in Revelation 21:5. After the confirmation of the covenant happens, that will confirm, that will give the green light for Israel to rebuild its third temple. That's so important. That marks day one until what will happen 3.5 years later. Day one from a 7-year period. Now, the Great Tribulation is not 7 years, but there is a 7-year period. What's that? Day one, the confirmation of the covenant. 3.5 years later, the temple has been rebuilt. We don't know how long that's going to take, but the Bible tells us it will be rebuilt in Daniel, and that the Antichrist will stand 3.5 years after the confirmation of the covenant. He'll stand in the temple and with what is called the abomination that makes it desolate, he'll declare that he's God. And he'll say, I'm going to bring peace to the earth. And how I'm going to do it is I'm going to destroy Israel. And that's day one. That's day one of the Great Tribulation. So that's how we get 7.5 years. 3.5 years from the confirmation of the covenant to the abomination of desolation. And then from that point, another 3.5 years for the wrath of Satan, the Great Tribulation, to reach its conclusion. So there is a 7-year period until the return of Jesus Christ that begins with the confirmation of the covenant. So what happens? How does this Battle of Armageddon end? So we're about to hear the seven final plagues, with the seven final plagues including the Battle of Armageddon. But we've just heard in this marriage supper prophecy the proof that the Battle of Armageddon is the wedding banquet. And how does it end? In verse 21, it says, their entire army, who's there? The Antichrist and the false prophet. Their entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came from the mouth of the one riding the white horse. Now, who's riding the white horse? Jesus Christ. And here's more proof. And the vultures all gorged themselves on the dead bodies. Now, you might say, why on earth would John the Revelator put that in there? He wrote what he saw in the visions, we're told, in chapter 1. So the book of Revelation has three sources of information. Number one, the Word of God. It's a part of the Word of God, but it also cites other parts of the Word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ, and all that he saw when he was caught up to heaven. Those are the three sources of information we're told in chapter 1 for the book of Revelation. So we ought to get excited to have these details. So we know also from the Earth Reap prophecy, if you were with us and you had a chance to listen to One Summer All of the broadcast in the month of November, you know that the Earth Reaped prophecy also ends with the Battle of Armageddon. And we know that these bodies, it says here that the vultures are told to come and dine on the flesh of kings, generals, strong warriors, horses, and their riders. We know that the carnage is actually 180 miles of blood and flesh. We know that from the Earth Reap prophecy. And from this prophecy, we know that 100% of the armies, so it doesn't tell us this in the Earth Reap prophecy, but in the Marriage Supper prophecy, we find out more details. 100% of those in the armies of the Antichrist are destroyed. They experience the first death. They won't be back until the second resurrection. So the cleanup plan for the Battle of Armageddon is that the vultures of the earth will dine on the flesh of those who have been defeated, the enemies of God, the enemies of Israel. Okay, I hope that that provides you with the proof that you need to know that for sure the marriage supper, the wedding banquet, the wedding feast, often mentioned in popular sermons, is not an opportunity for us to wear a fancy outfit and have our favorite meal with the Lord. It is a war waged in righteousness, a war to end all war, the Battle of Armageddon, which culminates with Jesus Christ himself destroying the enemies of Israel and having those enemies removed with a cleanup plan that involves the birds of the air, specifically vultures. Now, let's go to the seven plagues prophecy. I shared earlier that the wrath of Satan is followed by the wrath of God. That is confirmed when we heard in the book of Revelation, verses 15 to 19, where it said, the nations were filled with wrath, but now the time of your wrath has come. So what are we talking about here with the seven plagues prophecy? We're talking about the wrath of God. Now, the wrath of God is not limited to these seven plagues. It also includes his judgment at the great white throne judgment. That happens more than 1,000 years later, after the return of Christ. But where does it begin? Where does it begin? It begins with the seven final plagues. So I want to share with you specifically the full report of the Seven Plagues prophecy, but first let's hear the movie trailer in words. So this is going to cover in a short period of time highlights of the Seven Plagues. After we hear the movie trailer in words, the abstract, then we'll hear chapter 16 where we hear all the details about the seven final plagues. Let's go to its abstract. Chapter 15, the movie trailer in words for the Seven Plagues prophecy says, "Then I saw in heaven another marvelous event of great significance. Seven angels were holding the seven last plagues, which would bring God's wrath to completion. I saw before me what seemed to be a glass sea mixed with fire, and on it stood all the people who had been victorious over the beast and his statue and the number representing his name. They were all holding harps that God had given them, and they were singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous deeds have been revealed. Then I looked and saw that the temple in heaven, God's tabernacle, was thrown wide open. The seven angels who were holding the seven plagues came out of the temple. They were clothed in spotless white linen with gold sashes across their chests. Then one of the four living beings handed each of the seven angels a gold bowl filled with the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from God's glory and power. No one could enter the temple until the seven angels had completed pouring out the seven plagues." Okay, that's the movie trailer in words for the Seven Plagues prophecy. Now let's hear the movie in its entirety. Chapter 16 of the book of Revelation has the full report of the Seven Plagues prophecy. Here it is. And John the Revelator is speaking to us. He says, "Then I heard a mighty voice from the temple say to the seven angels, 'Go your ways and pour out on the earth the seven bowls containing God's wrath.' So the first angel left the temple and poured out his bowl on the earth, and horrible, malignant sores broke out on everyone who had the mark of the beast and who worshiped his statue." So let's pause there. That's another reason not to take the mark of the beast. Now, during the Great Tribulation, there will be significant pressure to take the mark of the beast. The Bible says you won't be able to buy or sell without the mark, and that the false prophet will compel people to take the mark of the beast and to worship his statue. But listen to this. We just heard that everyone, so in contrast to the death that happens to everyone who has the mark of the beast and who's in the armies of the Antichrist and false prophet in Israel at the Battle of Armageddon, those people lose their lives, okay? But this says that all who have the mark of the beast, so whether you're in Zambia or you're in Mexico, you're in Canada, you're in Australia, you're wherever you are, if you have the mark of the beast, you're in Texas, you're in Canada, you're in, there's so many wonderful nations of the world. Wherever you are, if you have the mark of the beast, the wrath of God will come to you. A malignant sore is the first of the seven final plagues. And who does it come to? It says, everyone who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. Now, let me share with you the definition of malignant. So, malignant is the opposite of benign. So, if something is benign, it's not harmful at all. in contrast, it says that malignant is very virulent or infectious, tending to invade normal tissue or to recur after removal, semicolon, cancerous. So you might say, well, God is a God of love. God would never put a sore on me. Yes, he will. If you have the mark of the beast and you are Team Satan, you have rejected God and accepted Satan as your Lord and Savior, then you are subject to the wrath of God. Now, don't be mad at me when I share with you what the Word of God says. So think about that. Think about that. Let's continue. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and everything in the sea died. So the second plague is when the waters, specifically of the sea, turned to blood. Let's continue. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs, and they became blood. And I heard the angel who had authority over all water saying, you are just, O Holy One, who is and who always was, because you have sent these judgments. Since they shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets, you have given them blood to drink. It is their just reward. And I heard a voice from the altar saying, yes, O Lord, the Almighty, your judgments are true and just. And so the third of the seven final plagues of God is when the fresh waters, waters in rivers and springs, also turn to blood. So it's one thing for the rivers in for the water in the sea, right, to turn to blood. That's going to be a hardship for the people of the earth, but we still have fresh waters and springs. But now there's an escalation. Now it's the sea plus the rivers and the springs all turning to blood. And why? Why? Because God is repaying. He's repaying to whom? Those who have shed the blood of God's holy people, the saints and his prophets. Let's continue. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, causing it to scorch everyone with its fire. Everyone was burned by this blast of heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over all these plagues. They did not repent of their sins and turn to God and give him glory. Now let's pause there. It says two things. Number one, what's the fourth and final plague? It's the scorching of the sun onto people with its fire. So the sun becomes extraordinarily hot, so hot that it scorches, it says, everyone with its fire. But let's look more carefully at this. Let's go farther. It says, who's everyone? It says, they did not repent of their sins and turn to God and give him glory. Now, if you are a sheep, if you are a part of the wheat, if you are Team Jesus, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you have repented of your sins. Step one in God's plan for salvation is to repent of our sins, to turn away from what we have done that's against God. To be remorseful, to say, I'm sorry, I don't want to do that again. I feel bad about that. I repent. So it says they did not repent of their sins. They did not turn to God. They did not give God glory. So it's clear that this isn't referring to, as I look at this, I don't see how this could be referring to the saints. Because every person who is a Christian has repented, has turned to God, and gives God glory. Now, let's continue. What about the fifth, sixth, and seventh final plagues? Let's hear the fifth plague. Then the fifth angel, so let me say, the first plague focuses on giving pain and disease to those who have the mark of the beast. The second and third plagues focus on bringing blood to the earth as repayment for the bloodshed of God's people. So the sea, the rivers, and the springs all turn to blood. And now the fourth final plague, it goes back to hurting those who refuse to repent of their sins, who refuse to give God glory. They're scorched. Now you think, wait a minute, this sun is so hot. I hate this. I need to repent, because if I don't repent, this isn't just going to be for a day or two or a week or a month. Hell is going to be hot like this. You'd think people would get that insight, but they don't. It says they did not repent of their sins and turn to God. So now with plague number four, that happens to those who refuse to repent of their sins, those who are Team Satan. Now when we go to plagues five, six, and seven, all about preparing for the Battle of Armageddon. It's all saying, Antichrist, I'm bringing you to me for your destruction. The fifth plague is taking the power from the physical location of the Antichrist. We're going to hear this in a moment. So when you're running an operation, whether it's a military operation, a business, any kind of operation, you need power. You need power for your computers. You need power to run showers and other systems. You need power. And so what God does to communicate clearly is he takes away all the power to the physical location of the throne of the Antichrist. And then we're going to hear in the sixth plague, he says, okay, it's time for you to come to me where I want to meet you to take you out. And so he creates a pathway to lead the enemies of God to him, to an appointed place for a battle at an appointed time, the appointed place, Israel. And finally, the seventh final plague includes but is not limited to the Battle of Armageddon. So let's hear it, the fifth, sixth, and final plagues. So we began with talking about how the seventh trumpet war in the seven trumpets prophecy aligns perfectly with the seventh final plague. So verses 10 to 20. In chapter 16, we're going to hear the fifth, sixth, and seventh plagues, all focused on God alerting the Antichrist to his end, bringing the armies of the Antichrist, as well as the Antichrist and the false prophet, to an appointed location, and then unleashing the power of God to destroy the Antichrist, the false prophet, and their enemies. Here it is, it says, then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. Who's the beast? That's the Antichrist. And his kingdom was plunged into darkness. His subjects ground their teeth in anguish, and they cursed the God of heaven for their pains and sores. But they did not repent of their evil deeds and turn to God. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great Euphrates River, and it dried up so that the kings from the east could march their armies toward the west without hindrance. And I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs leap from the mouths of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. They are demonic spirits who work miracles and go out to all the rulers of the world to gather them for battle against the Lord on that great judgment day of God the Almighty. Look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Blessed are all who are watching for me, who keep their clothing ready, so they will not have to walk around naked and ashamed. And the demonic spirits gathered all the rulers and their armies to a place with the Hebrew name Armageddon. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air. Here it is, friend. We're about to hear about the events following the seventh trumpet sounding, the events that are included in the seventh and final plague of God. Reading from verse 17 to verse 21 of chapter 16 of the book of Revelation, it says, "And a mighty shout came from the throne in the temple, saying, 'It is finished.' Then the thunder crashed and rolled, and lightning flashed, and a great earthquake struck, the worst since people were placed on the earth. The great city of Babylon split into three sections, and the cities of many nations fell into heaps of rubble. So God remembered all of Babylon's sins, and he made her drink the cup that was filled with the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island disappeared, and all the mountains were leveled. There was a terrible hailstorm, and hailstones weighing as much as 75 pounds fell from the sky onto the people below. They cursed God because of the terrible plague of the hailstorm." So, what did we find out with the seventh and final plague? The wrath of God includes, but is not limited to, the Battle of Armageddon. It also includes what happens to Mystery Babylon. What happens to that location that houses the harlot church? In the book of Revelation, the purple and scarlet prophecy describes the harlot church. We are commanded to come up out of her so that we do not partake of her plagues. And so the wrath of God includes the Battle of Armageddon, and it includes what happens to Mystery Babylon and the leaders of the harlot church at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ after the marriage of the Lamb. Friend, in 2023, we'll be looking at the prophecies of the book of Revelation from start to finish. By my analysis, there are 12 statements of prophecy, and that purple and scarlet prophecy talking about what happens to Babylon as described here very briefly. It's described very briefly in the seven final plagues prophecy, but in its entirety, we get a full report in the purple and scarlet prophecy. Chapters 17 and 18 in the book of Revelation. Prophecy number 8 in August of 2023 will be focusing exclusively on the purple and scarlet prophecy. What happens to Mystery Babylon and the harlot church when the wrath of God is unleashed with the seventh and final plague, which includes but is not limited to the Battle of Armageddon? So, friend, I'd like you to consider putting on your calendar now time to be with me and with us as we go from start to finish with prophecy number 1 in the book of Revelation, the seven trumpets prophecy in January, and in February, in January, we'll be talking about the seven seals prophecy. The seven seals prophecy, that's the first prophecy in the book of Revelation. In February, we'll be talking about the seven trumpets prophecy. In March, the 1,260 days prophecy. In April, the 666 Antichrist prophecy. In May of 2023, every broadcast for this program, Secrets Revealed, understand the book of Revelation from start to finish. In May of 2023, every broadcast will focus on the 144,000 first fruits prophecy. In June, we'll talk about the earth reaped prophecy, what happens at the time of the marriage of the Lamb. In July, we'll return to talking about this seven final plagues prophecy. In August, the purple and scarlet prophecy will roll right from talking about the purple and scarlet prophecy, what happens to the harlot church, what happens to Mystery Babylon, the great prostitute, when the wrath of God comes. We'll go from there in September to talking about the marriage supper prophecy in October of 2023. We'll focus on the millennial reign prophecy. In November, if you're interested in the great white throne judgment, the dead judged prophecy will be the focus of every broadcast on this program. And finally, in December of 2023, we'll be talking about the new earth prophecy. What happens after the end of the world? What is this new earth? When does it come and what does it look like and where will we live? What will our activities be? And what about the mark? Did you know that details about the mark of God and the fact that you will have the mark of God on your body, that that's described in the New Earth prophecy? And so, friend, we are serious about the Word of God and hearing, learning, knowing what the secrets God has for his people, those who have a heart to know him, who have a heart to obey him, who just love God. If you are a truth seeker, if you are a truth seeker, no matter what your religious affiliation is or your denomination is, if you are a truth seeker, this internet broadcast is for you. So I invite you to plan now for how you will incorporate time to hear the prophecies of the book of Revelation. We're going to hear all 12 statements of prophecies, 12 statements of prophecy analyzed, discussed, reviewed in 2023. So I invite you to do that. Every Sunday, you can participate in the live broadcast at 12 p.m. Central Time. Tuesdays also, there's another live broadcast at 4 p.m. Central Time. I see from our PGN statistics that a lot of you like to download from Apple Podcasts. That's another way to listen. So you can download the archives of the program every week at the same time if that's better for you. Maybe say, I can't listen on Sundays, but I could listen Thursday morning. Do that, friend. Go ahead and listen to the podcast every Thursday morning or every, whatever that every is, the same date and time. If you have a habit, it's easier to keep up with it over time. And if you do that, you will know all the prophecies in the book of Revelation. If you listen to every broadcast in 2023, you will know all the prophecies of the book of Revelation. Those secrets will be revealed to you, God willing. So, friend, I want to encourage you today, according to Jeremiah 33:3, to call out to God, because he will show you great and mighty secrets that you do not know.